Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Please be seated. Every Sunday morning, we sing together, Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In the service of the sacrament, right before the words of institution, we sing, O Christ, thou Lamb of God that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. On Ash Wednesday and at the bedside of the dying, we pray the litany, saying, O Lord, have mercy. O Christ, have mercy. O Lord, have mercy. Perhaps it seems a little repetitive. Over and over again, Lord, have mercy. So why do we cry out with this simple little prayer so often? Well, first, it's the way that the Bible teaches us to call upon the Lord. All the way back when the prophet Nathan rebuked King David for committing adultery with Bathsheba, David prayed to the Lord, saying, Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. In the New Testament, Have mercy on me, O Lord, was the cry of the Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed by a demon. Another day, Lord, have mercy was the cry of the man whose son had a demon that would cause him to go into seizures and throw him into the water and the fire. Jesus, Master, have mercy was the cry of the 10 lepers as they lifted up their voices to Jesus as he entered a village. There's another reason we pray this prayer so often. It's because a true disciple of Jesus recognizes that he or she is nothing more than a beggar who, by the mercy of Christ, denies himself daily, takes up his cross, and follows Jesus and his suffering. Follows Jesus on the way to suffering, trusting in him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is drawing nearer and nearer to Jerusalem, where he will be brutally crucified on Calvary's cross. And the road he's traveling goes through Jericho, maybe 12 to 15 miles outside of Jerusalem. After Jericho, it's on into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But on this day, having witnessed Jesus' miracles and heard his preaching, a great crowd follows Jesus through Jericho. And as Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd are leaving the city, there alongside of the road is a blind beggar. It's a perfect place for a blind beggar to be begging because it's the road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Lots of traffic, lots of people to beg from. And while Scripture gives us very, very few details about Bartimaeus, if you think about the culture of the day, the life of a blind man was a hopeless life. Perhaps he would be better off dead because there were no laws to protect people with disabilities. There were no programs or educational schools to teach the blind a trade. There was no Braille. They couldn't read. So the blind is unable to work, they're unable to steal, their whole life spent begging for a few coins or a few scraps of food to sustain their life. Such was the life of Bartimaeus, hopelessly sitting along the roadside, begging for those passing by, hoping that they would throw a few coins in his lap. Now, while having no marketable skills, Bartimaeus does have one very special talent. the blind are outstanding listeners. Studies have shown that those who have lost one of their senses, the other senses increase to make up for the one that is lost. The brain adapts, making the other senses stronger. So typically, a blind person would have their sense of smell and touch and listening improved. And this made Bartimaeus an excellent listener. You see, his place along the road is not only a wonderful spot to be begging, it is an exceptional place to be eavesdropping on conversations of people passing by and learning from them, learning about current events, learning about people. And at some point, Bartimaeus must have heard about Jesus of Nazareth, the miracle worker, a teacher who had healed the sick and cast out demons and raised the dead, the one who had compassion on the lost and the helpless. And by hearing the word of Jesus delivered through all those many voices over a period of time, the Holy Spirit created faith within the heart of Bartimaeus. He believed that Jesus of Nazareth was the one and only person who could help him. And as he heard Jesus in the crowd drawing near, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's his confession of faith. He cries out, a confession of faith and a prayer all at the same time. He confesses that Jesus is the Son of David. The prophets foretold that through the line of David would come the Messiah. And even though the crowds rebuked the man, telling him to be silent, he hollered out all the more, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus has faith that Jesus can help him, that Jesus is the only one who can heal him. And this is why we, Christians, so often in our liturgy cry out to the Lord to have mercy upon us. Prior to his encounter with Jesus, Bartimaeus was physically blind and without hope. Similarly, apart from Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection on your behalf, you are spiritually blind and also without hope. Even though you have eyes that see, even though you have eyes, you don't truly see. As St. Paul writes, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Yet sometimes those with eyes of faith, good, true Christians, are seduced and led astray by the unholy trinity of the world, the devil, and your sinful flesh. Rather than following Jesus on the way, you harden your heart against God and go your own way, traveling your own road, doing the things the way you think they ought to be done, believing that down your way you will find success and contentment in your own form of salvation apart from Christ. Rather than fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things, you trust in your own wisdom, your own reason and strength for your spiritual well-being. But as a true disciple of Jesus, you recognize that you are nothing more than a beggar, who by the mercy of Christ Jesus must daily deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow Jesus on his way of suffering, trusting in him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Faith that clings to Jesus prays to Jesus. It doesn't take much, a little short prayer to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," Simply, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Your prayers don't have to be heaped up with lots of fancy words, no flowery phraseology. And you have the testimony of Holy Scripture that this one little short prayer, Jesus, have mercy on me, it gets Jesus' attention. He hears. He listens to your prayers. This prayer and every other prayer prayed in faith is heard and answered by your Father in heaven. Now, to be sure, as we always say, sometimes God's answer is no. Maybe what you're asking for isn't as great as what he has in mind for your life. Or sometimes God wants to teach you some patience. Other times, maybe what you're praying for will cause you spiritual harm or danger, and you don't realize that. So by answering no, God protects you. You can't know the mind of God ahead of time, so simply pray, trusting that Jesus will hear your prayers and answer them in the way that is the very best for your salvation. The omniscient Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was calling upon him. He knew that he had faith in his heart. But Jesus allowed the beggar to sit there a little longer, beg a little louder, continuing to cry out his prayer and faith, until finally Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. This too is a confession of faith. It is Bartimaeus's outward sign of his trust and faith in Christ Jesus by simply throwing off his cloak. Blind people do not want to be parted from their cloaks. For Bartimaeus, it's his only shelter from the weather. It's his only tool of the trade. Sitting outside of a city, begging, he needs a cloak draped across his lap for the coins to land in so he can gather them together, depending on those passing by to toss those coins his way. So if you think about it, picture in your mind Bartimaeus jumping up, flinging his cloak. He's not only freeing himself from some bind that may prevent him from running to Jesus, but he's also scattering his coins, losing coins and cloak in the massive crowd. All those coins that he had begged for, worked hard for, and had collected, all of them scattered for the sake of Jesus. It is his confession of faith. He knew Jesus had something better to offer him. Our text says, Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Now, as often happens, the English translation falls a little short. In the original language, Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Healing, faith, and salvation are always together. Bartimaeus has gained so much more than just a physical healing. He has received a spiritual healing, salvation, freed from sin, death, and eternal damnation, granting him the eyes of faith that he needs, faith that healed Bartimaeus, and faith in the one who saved him, and that is faith in Jesus. So as Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and he trusted in Jesus, so too you and I and all disciples must throw away our own wisdom, reason, and strength, and any other thing that may hinder us from coming to Jesus and following him on his way. Jesus told Bartimaeus, "Go your way." This too is instructive. Jesus forces no one to follow him. He forces no one to trust him. He told Bartimaeus, go your way. Bartimaeus could have went wherever he wanted. All of those years, not seeing any sights, wine, women, song, all these different things Bartimaeus could have went out after. No, he didn't go off his way. He followed Jesus with eyes wide open, eyes of faith wide open. He followed Jesus from Jericho into Jerusalem and followed, carried his own cross. And these things you do also. You see, faith isn't simply receiving healings and miracles from Jesus. Faith follows Jesus on his road to the cross. Like all of Jesus' miracles, each one of them is costly. Healing of salvation costs Jesus flesh and blood, giving his very life on Calvary's cross for your healing. In his death and resurrection, he has won the victory over sin, death, and the devil, and he shares those riches with all beggars who cry out to him, those who cry out, Lord, have mercy, crying out in faith. And by your God-given faith, you can daily deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus on his way of suffering, trusting in him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. You can call upon him every day, call upon him in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks, and shouting out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And know that our Lord has had mercy upon you, and he has given his only begotten Son to die for you. And for Jesus' sake, he forgives you all of your sins of trusting in your own wisdom and strength, your sins of going off on your own way and not following Jesus. And as we prayed earlier in our collect of the day, God, the helper of all who call on you, have mercy on us and give us eyes of faith to see your Son, that we may follow him on the way that leads to eternal life through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.